Spirit, okay, and what he does in our life and who he is, and kind of, I think he sometimes gets put on that back burner. We always think of the Father and the Son, but the Holy Spirit is a little more mysterious sometimes. And so kind of pressing into him a little bit, see what he does. So this week we've got the second part of what the Holy Spirit does. And I think it's going to be at least 3 or 4 on that, because we haven't even got into the gifts of the Holy Spirit or the fruits of the Holy Spirit, some of the other things that are really active in our life. And we won't even get to that today. So probably be a couple more on this at least. But let's press in a little bit on more of what the Holy Spirit does. Let's start with some prayer. Father, we are praising you in the name of Jesus. Father, we're here as children of God, as your children that believe in you. We have put our life in the hands of Jesus Christ. We have decided that you are the Almighty God. You have proven yourself, the stars, the sun, the earth, everything seems to point towards you. And beyond that, we have applied our faith in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, to lead us unto you, to keep us, to ensure our eternal life in heaven, and to give us a life on earth that is abundant and full of you. And Father, through this, we know that you have also given us your Holy Spirit. So this morning, Father, I pray as we press into you that we have a greater understanding of the Holy Spirit and your power, your working in our life and what you're doing in and through us because of him. Lord, we're praising you for it. Thank you for your power. Change us from the inside out today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Okay, the Holy Spirit, let me just start with being a predominant part of what we call a triune God. I've already named the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We call him a triune God. His role in our lives is not only for just our eternal life, our redemption. We learned a couple weeks ago, you know, who is the Holy Spirit? He's the one that seals the deal, right? He seals you unto the day of redemption. We read that. But along with that, he is clearly the part of the Trinity, okay, that is most visible and most active in the believer's life while you're still on earth. Okay, I know, yeah, we receive Christ into our heart, we believe in God, but God sent Jesus. Jesus came, did his thing, and then went and said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit to be with you now. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is the one that is here really active. We get to see a lot of things because of him right now. And I've learned that the more that I seek to answer this question, what does the Holy Spirit do? What does he do in our life? What does he do through our life? The more that I seek that answer, the more impressed I am with the Holy Spirit. Okay, the more impressed I am with his ability, okay, and the things that he is capable of doing in our life, but also I'm impressed with his responsibility. Okay, what is he responsible for? Okay, we sometimes think as Christians, it's all about me and I need to do this and I need to do that, and we forget that we have a God who now lives inside of us, who is there on purpose to change, to work, to do right through our life. And so that responsibility is just as much as impressive to me as what his real ability is. Okay, he is responsible not just for sealing you, but for doing a whole lot of other things. Without him, we would be, I don't know, for lack of a better term, I thought we'd be like a sitting duck in a pond, and the devil's just sitting up on the shore shooting at us at will. Okay, we would be like that without the Holy Spirit. He plays an active role in protecting us. Okay, he plays an active role in guiding us. We're going to talk about that today in the unction of the Holy Spirit, being led by him. He empowers us. Okay, remember we studied that last week. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, go wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And then the Holy Spirit came on and they were filled with a power that went beyond human, beyond natural. Okay, so we know that power that the devil, that God has given us, is the way that we can effectively deal with the devil and his demons, right? It is above our own strength. Okay, he protects us, he empowers us to very effectively make wise decisions that put the devil under our feet. Okay, there was a great song out back in the 90s on he's under my feet, he's under my feet, the devil is under my feet. And then I went back to his camp and took back what he stole from me, the devil's under my feet. And that was the lyrics of it. But it was like an upbeat kind of dance around the room kind of song. But the reality was, it was so true. that the Holy Spirit has empowered us to now put the devil where he belongs, under our feet. And we have forces that come against us in life. This is, you know, I don't want to get too scary for you, but there is a demonic force. Satan and his demons don't like you. And as a Christian believer, they will come at you. They will try to oppress you and depress you and cripple your life. Okay, whether it not just be in the natural, but spiritually, they'll try to hinder you. They'll come at and do things. So knowing that we have this unseen evil force coming at us, it makes sense that the most effective way, the most powerful way to combat that is through a holy divine spirit, a godly spirit that is fighting back, that is not even on equal ground. It's not like God and devil. It's God up here and devil down here. They're not equal in power. Okay, so the Holy Spirit being part of that Godhead is much, much more powerful than Satan and any of his demons. Okay, there is no possible even literal comparison between the two when it comes to the greatness of their power. Okay, so if you understand the true reason that Jesus came, okay, we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we've given our life to him. If you understand the gospel, okay, the core reason for why Jesus Christ came, you know that one of his most powerful tools that he used to put the devil in his place was the power of forgiveness. Okay, without forgiveness of sins, we're still destined for hell. That was the one kicker, that when the Jesus, we put our faith in him, we're forgiven. And the Holy Spirit now, I want to show you, is the one that reminds you that you're forgiven. He's the one that's part of his job, is to help you ensure your salvation so that you know that you're saved. Okay, without being forgiven, without being washed clean of our sins against a holy God, without the blood of Jesus cleansing us, you would be, what the Bible says, yet in your sins. Okay, you would be destined for not only a life of misery while here on earth, but destined for hell when you leave this earth. Okay, that is what that forgiveness triggered. It made it so that your destination went from hell to heaven instantly, that forgiveness of your sins. If you were found guilty, okay, condemned for your sin, the devil would simply gain another willing participant, okay, gain another willing victim and an entrant into what I called his lair of despair. Okay, I'm sure he thinks it's a great place for the time being, but the day will come when he'll realize it wasn't so great. But for right now, he's wanting to lure people into that, to this layer of despair and hopelessness and destruction and calamity and defeat. Okay, so one of the most powerful things to answer this question, what does the Holy Spirit do? One of the most powerful things that the Holy Spirit does in your life is to confirm and reassure you that you've been forgiven. Okay, not only does he seal you to God, but he removes the condemnation from your life so that you can truly serve God with all of your heart. Okay? If we don't realize our forgiveness, if we still think we're an unforgiven sinner, that I might be going to hell, I don't know, we live in that state, we will not be as effective for God as we could be. God has a plan, and it was to ensure your forgiveness so that you can really let go and live your life. Okay, I want to read a scripture. It's a very popular scripture in Christianese. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Okay, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Big S, capital S on Spirit. So it's talking about those who walk in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to explain this. We're going to spend quite a bit of time in Romans chapter 8 because there's a great explanation of what I'm talking about in there. Okay, your flesh, this says, there is no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, your flesh is your entire nature without the Holy Spirit. Okay, the lost person that has never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are yet in their sins, they are living according to their flesh. Okay, they have no, the Holy Spirit is not leading, guiding, doing what He's supposed to do or can do at least in their life. When you live not according to the dictates of your flesh, but you live according to the dictates or the inspiration, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you will no longer feel the heaviness or the condemnation of sin. Okay, so that heaviness that, you know what, I messed up, I feel horrible, I feel guilty, I'm unworthy, all that stuff is what the Holy Spirit came to remove. Okay, and I'm going to explain how He does that. Okay, one reason that the heaviness is not there when you truly walk in the Spirit is because that you will no longer be giving in to sin. Okay? You will not, at least not as much. I'm not saying you're going to, every day you get it right. Okay? Somebody, you know, kicks you in the toe and you let something come out of your mouth that wasn't very nice or whatever it is. Okay? There's moments like that. But when you're walking according to the Spirit, being led and guided by Him, guess what? He's going to lead and guide you into good stuff. Okay, He's not going to lead you into those moments of calamity where you are prone to give in to those things. Okay, your mind and the mind of Christ, the Bible says, become one. And you begin to steer clear of temptation. And you are strengthened by the Spirit of God to walk in integrity, to walk in victory, to walk in the ways of God. Okay, the Holy Spirit, remember, He's an empowerer, not just a forgiver and sealing the deal, all those things, but He's that empowerer to help us to walk in integrity and victory. That word for condemnation, when it says, there is therefore now no condemnation, that word condemnation in the Greek literally means blame. Okay, there's another scripture, I need to pull it up, it's I think in Hebrews, it says that we are to be found unblameable in God's eyes. There's only one way to do that, and that is to be completely washed clean of your sin. That's what Jesus and Holy Spirit are working on in our life. There is no blame to those who walk after the Spirit. Okay, to walk after the Spirit means that you're walking in accordance with, or here's the real definition of that word, to walk after the Spirit, to walk characteristically resembling the Spirit of God. Okay, you resemble the Spirit of God. Okay, like we learned last week, the Holy Spirit of God is not just acquainted with God, but He is actually part of God, so He knows exactly what God wants done, right? You know what you want done. Okay, the same as Holy Spirit knows what God wants done. The Holy Spirit is, and I like this term, I think I made it up, the get-her-done agent of the Godhead. Okay? He is the get-her-done guy. When God wants something done, He sends holy. It's going to get done and done right. Right? Holy Spirit knows what God wants, right? So if you walk in a way that resembles Holy Spirit, you will be doing what God wants done. Right? That's why there's no condemnation for those that walk in the Spirit. Okay? Walk according to the Spirit. When we're walking in a way that resembles the Holy Spirit, we're going to be quite pleasing to God. Okay? You'll be fulfilling all the things God wants done, and Holy speaking in your ear, saying, hey, do this, you do it. It's going to be very pleasing unto God. Okay? And we will not be putting ourselves in a position to bring any sort of blame or condemnation on ourselves. Now, I'm not saying we always get it right. Don't get me wrong. I know. Okay, but for the most part, when we're listening to the Spirit, we're walking in pretty good stuff. We're loving people, we're giving, we're sowing, we're ministering, we're doing what God is calling us to do because Holy's right there with us. We're resembling, kind of modeling ourselves after what He wants done in our life. Okay, so having the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in you, we found out we are the temple, the living dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So having Him living and dwelling in you makes you capable of fulfilling all the demands of God's righteousness. Because God, remember when He said, be ye holy, for I am holy? Okay, he didn't just say it. He said it, and then he empowered you to do it. Okay, he wants you to live out a holy life, to have the ability, the capability, the capacity, and to have the experience of living a life without all the sin and garbage in it. Okay, he wants you to live that life out. It's a great life. I kid you not. I have a saying in my life that, you know, if something comes up that I'm kind of tempted to do, and I remind myself, I say, no, I'm enjoying my righteousness too much. I don't want to go down that road anymore. I don't like that stuff anymore. I enjoy righteousness. I enjoy living it out. Not that it puts me not on better than other people, but I tell you, I probably live in a pretty decent life, okay? And I enjoy that part of life, okay? And you have to, I might share this on Wednesday, but you got to change your thinking so that you enjoy that part of life, okay? Because being bad is not always cool, okay? I know that we got it, and when I was a kid, you know, growing up, sometimes you would do things, you know, they're off color or be bad or whatever because it was cool. Okay, well, you got to rethink that. Change your thinking that, you know what, being bad's not cool anymore. God likes the right stuff, so I'm going to walk over here and start doing the things that are good and right, and it makes life feel better. Okay, you end up being as confident in those things as you need to be to accomplish what God wants you to do. Well, this passage that we're looking at in Romans chapter 8 goes on to say that you have been given the Spirit because God's intention for giving you the Spirit was this, and it's Romans 8:4. He gave you the Spirit so that the righteousness of the law, okay, all of God's demands, over 800 commandments of God, rules, laws, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit was given to you so that you could fulfill all the things that God wants you to do. Okay, that's what, in one of the things that the Holy Spirit does. He spares you not only from the guilt and condemnation of sin, but then he empowers you to live the right life. Okay, so not only do we connect with God, we've got this thing going where we know that we're forgiven, we've got that part down, but then also he helps us to live the life that we want to live or that God wants us to live. You know, some of you struggle to believe that you can ever be free from a certain weakness in your life. Okay, but the reality is that you have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you to get the job done. Okay, your aim is to live in or live according to, live in resemblance of the Spirit. Okay, but then learn to walk in the Spirit and then you'll see the victory that I'm talking about. Okay, there's a pursuit here that it takes a little bit of gumption on the Christian part. Okay, that says I'm not just going to go through the motions, I'm actually going to pursue what I know is good and right and healthy for me. So we pursue walking in the Spirit. Okay, and he will help you to see that victory that he has provided. You'll see it begin to manifest more and more. You'll get more and more confident in it. I want to read you another passage out of Romans chapter 8, but read it to you out of the Amplified Bible. I want to show you something about what the Holy Spirit does in your life, what he will do if you'll let him. Romans 8, 8 and 9 out of the Amplified Bible says it this way. So then, those who are living the life of the flesh, who are catering to the appetites and the impulses of their carnal nature, they cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to him. But, here's the kicker. But you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life in the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs you, and controls you, okay, the Holy Spirit has been given for a very powerful purpose. If you let him, he will control your life. If you let him, he will control your life. Okay, I'm not saying you won't make your own decisions. We know that we will, right? Probably people send me an email saying, hey, you said, But no, the reality is that he will control your life if you let him. The first thing that you have to do is to give up control to him. Okay? He is not going to harm you. He's not going to harm you, bring you into any sort of negative consequence in any way. He will not lead you wrong. Okay? You have to trust him. Okay? Say, Holy, I get it. When you wake up in the morning and you say, well, Holy Spirit, my life is yours today. Okay? I know that you're in me. And I know that your way is best, so let's do whatever you want to do today. Okay? When you do that, your life will be extremely fulfilling. Okay? People looking, what's the meaning of life? How can I feel satisfied? How can I feel empty? Okay? Wake up every day and ask Holy Spirit, Lord, Holy Spirit, you lead me today. I want to do what you want to do. Your life will be fulfilling. You will feel like you accomplished something that day. Okay, in Romans, the same book, chapter 8, verse 11, he said it this way. He said, if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Okay, quicken. He said he will quicken your mortal bodies. What does that mean? It means to make alive by entering into a phase of active growth and development. Okay, that's a complicated way to say to be quickened means you will shine more brightly. Okay, you're going to be sharper and you're going to be stimulated or prompted to make the right decisions. Okay, those are all life-giving, life and ability-enhancing things that are already inside of you right now. Okay, the Holy Spirit is in you. God's Word tells us that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Okay, sometimes we don't know what we should pray for as we ought, right? There's another scripture that talks about that. But the reality is that the Holy Spirit always knows what we should be prayed for. Okay, he knows what needs to happen. And this is exactly what... So he goes to God and intercedes on your behalf and says, God, so-and-so, they need this today. God, so-and-so, they need this today. And he prays it as an intercession to God for you. Okay? How many have ever heard the scripture that says that we know that all things work together for good to them who are the called, those who walk according to God, right? It's not quoting it very good, let me say it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Okay, you've heard that scripture? We like to quote that. All things work together for good. We're a Christian. Okay. That scripture comes from Romans chapter 8, 28, but the two verses leading up to it tells us how God works all things together for your good. Okay, look at Romans 8, 26. It says, likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps our infirmities or our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. Okay, the Holy Spirit as that get-or-done agent. Okay, the Holy Spirit as the key agent in ensuring, that's his role, is to ensure that you are well taken care of. Okay, he not only leads and guides you to be in the right place at the right time, he not only helps steer you clear of being at the wrong place at the wrong time, but he literally intercedes for you, standing before God, completely apart from you, and works things out for your good. Okay, that should be pretty comforting to know that Holy Spirit is interceding for you on your behalf, not based on you, not based on what you did or didn't do, or you tripped, you stumbled, you fell, you did great that day, whatever it is. It has nothing to do with that. And everything to do from the Holy Spirit is there to intercede for you. That's what he does. That's what he came to do. He is sent on our behalf to go stand before God and say, God, Malia needs this today. You know, or God, Josiah needs this today. Okay, he goes and speaks on your behalf, not based on, you know what, Haley was a good girl this week, maybe we should bless her. You know, he doesn't say that. He stands before God, regardless of what you did, said, or didn't do, and says, God, this person needs this today. God, this person needs this today. That is interceding on your behalf according to the will of God. Okay, and of course, he knows what God wants to work out for your best in your life. Okay, the Holy Spirit literally comes to your aid. Okay, he helps you with your weak areas. Okay, everybody stop for just a second. Think of your weak areas. If you can't think of one, it's called pride. Just saying. Okay. The Holy Spirit literally comes to your aid and helps you with your weak areas. If you cry out to God about your weakness, the Holy Spirit is on it. Because he knows that you know that you need help in that area. You're a willing participant. And he goes and stands before God and says, God, it's time. Unleash the goodness. Unleash something onto that person and bless them because they need something in an area. They're crying out to you saying, God, I need help with this. Okay? At that point, it would serve you very well to turn all of it over to him and say, okay, I've admitted it. I've given it to you. Now you take it and do most of the work. And I say most because Holy's going to ask you to do a little bit here. Okay? He wants your participation to show I'm still in it. I still want to quit doing that, start doing this, whatever it is. He wants to know that you're in it, but yet he is going to do the majority of the intercession and the majority of the work on your behalf. The Holy Spirit is all about setting you up for success. That's what he wants to do. All those times when you say, I wish I could, or I wish I wouldn't. Okay, all those things are well within his scope of things that he will help you with. Okay, in Acts chapter 8, there is a description of an evangelical Christian named Philip that apparently prayed sometime earlier in the day for God to help him lead someone to Christ on that day. And the Holy Spirit puts him in the right place at the right time to do exactly that. And I want to read this to you. It's a long passage. It's like 12 scriptures, but I think you can handle it. Okay, Acts 8, verse 26. Remember, he's talking about the Spirit and what the Spirit does in your life. And here he gets to Acts, this is 8, 26. And it says, the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, see the capital S there, this is holy at work. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself unto this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture where he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch says unto Philip, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Is he speaking of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He gave his life to Jesus on the spot, right there. Philip woke up that morning and he said, Holy Spirit, my life is yours today. Take control. Lead me, guide me, and help me to do whatever God wants me to do today. And the Holy Spirit, shortly after that, apparently says to Philip, go south. Okay? So Philip starts to go south. He tells him to go to Gaza. So Philip goes to Gaza. Then he told Philip to go to a chariot that was stopped by the side of the road. And Philip obeyed and literally ran to the chariot. And then the Holy Spirit gave Philip the exact words to say to lead the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. As they started traveling again together, they traveled down the road, and it was not just a coincidence that they happened to be at a body of water at the exact moment when the eunuch decides he wanted to give his life to Jesus right there. That's what the Holy Spirit will do when you ask Him. Okay, that's what He does when you say, my life is yours. I want you to take control. Lead me, guide me on this day. And He will do that. He'll put you in the right place at the right time. Okay, not only will He put you in the right place at the right time, but you need to know this as well, because this is the other side of being at the right place, is being at the wrong place. He will keep you from going down that road. Okay? He will keep you from putting yourself into harm's way or opening that door of temptation. The Spirit will do His best to keep you from doing something that you should not do. Okay? When the Scripture says this in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says that there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God, who is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape it so that you will be able to bear it. Okay, the Holy Spirit is the one working to provide you with a way out. Okay, the Holy Spirit wants to keep you from stumbling. So when it said that no temptation will take in you, but a way will be provided out, who's the getter done agent? Holy Spirit. And He's going to step in and say, wait a minute, they're going down this route. I need to do something here. And He'll put things in motion to help steer you away from that stumbling point. Okay, sometimes I have found in my life that Holy Spirit will actually physically intervene on my behalf. We think of Him as a spirit. What can He do? He can physically move on people's hearts, kind of lean them in a direction or change the course of things. Okay, maybe somebody has hurt you in life and you're in the grocery store and they're walking down the aisle towards you and you know that it's going to be one of those moments where things are going to get riled up emotionally. You don't want to have a conversation with them, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, your cell phone rings. And instead of that miserable conversation, you have a very pleasant and nice conversation with a car warranty expert instead. Right? Okay? That phone call, right at that moment, oh, hang on, I got to take a phone call. Oh, yeah, I've been thinking about that. Yeah, it's glad you called. I was hoping you'd call back, you know. Okay? And you can have that conversation. Holy Spirit will lead and guide and put things like that. Okay, let me give you another example. Let's say that you've been kind of obsessing about buying something online, okay? And you know that it costs a lot and you just don't have the money right now, but you're convincing yourself that I'm just going to put it on the credit card. It'll be okay. I know it's a big debt, but I'll pay it off, 24% interest, whatever. It'll be okay. And you're trying to convince yourself, you know you shouldn't, but at the same time, so finally you get to that point and you say, I'm just going to go do it. And you go to the computer and you get online and lo and behold, the internet is down in your area. And you can't do it. And by the time the internet comes back on, it's too late to do any online shopping because now you got to go to work. And the way the Holy Spirit works is when you get to work, somebody at work is going to bless you with some money and you wouldn't have had to put it on a credit card anyway. Right? That's holy intervening on your behalf, saying, wait a minute. Oh, the internet's down? Yeah, sorry all you other 500 customers had to suffer through that for, you know, so-and-so's sake. But he orchestrated things so that it just didn't happen. Okay? You were tempted, he knew it, and it was such a simple fix that, you know what, let's just drop the internet line for a little bit. Okay? I haven't seen him out working on the lines, but I know that that stuff happens. Okay? I've shared the one before that when I was a young Christian driving in Rapid City, South Dakota with the bikini car wash on the corner, and I'm driving down, and I know I'm going to be tempted. I can see it up there two blocks ahead. I know what's coming. And by the time I get up there, a semi-truck pulls up next to me, and I can't see anything. Okay? I give Holy Spirit credit for that. Okay? And I acknowledge when those things happen. Okay? I'm tempted to do something. I'm thinking, well, I don't want to do that. But all of a sudden, it's impossible to do it. Okay, whatever, a phone call, somebody stops by, or whatever it is, and things happen and it takes you in a direction that makes it so it just doesn't happen. I recognize those moments as, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit, thanks for working on my behalf, thanks for providing a way to escape, okay, He always will. Okay, that's when the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, okay, and you can recognize that. Before I close for today, I want to share just a little bit with you about how the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Okay, it's one thing to say that He's speaking to you. How do you recognize it? How do you know if He's already at work in your life? How do you know that it's His voice that you're hearing? Okay, in a case like that, yeah, I'll give Him credit. That's easy enough to see. But there's other times where you feel led or you feel prompted not to do something. How do you recognize what's of Him and what's not? I know that the Holy Spirit speaks in a lot of different ways, and it's hard to cover in just a few minutes. But so over the next couple weeks, I'll give you a lot of different examples of it. But for starters, you have to know that God has given you what is commonly referred to as a conscience. Okay? God gave you that. Your conscience is your capacity of moral intuition. It is your right and wrong thinking. Okay, your what's right and what's wrong, moral intuition, something that says this is okay to do, this is acceptable, this is not. Okay, that is your God-given conscience. It is your internal awareness, your sense of either abiding by or transgressing against the moral standard. So that when I do that, if I step across that line, I instantly feel it. Okay, that's your conscience and the Holy Spirit at work together. Because for the Christian believer, your conscience is your, let me rephrase that, your conscience is given to you by God, but your moral standards of what is right and wrong is instilled in you by God as well. You have His Spirit in you that knows perfectly what is God's best and what is not. Okay, so that conscience is working with the Holy Spirit who is revealing to you what God's ways are. Okay, so your conscience and Holy Spirit work together so that you can know what is right or what is not. Okay? It is essential for your own... Okay, let me reword this. Your conscience is essentially your personal private knowledge of negative moral feelings or what is referred to as guilt. Okay? If you're going to feel guilty about doing something, or you feel guilty about something you just did, your conscience is actively at work with the Holy Spirit of God who is revealing the standard of God's moral to you. Okay? When you hear that little voice inside that says, you better not, okay, or you probably shouldn't, or sometimes you'll just say, I wouldn't. Right? And we can listen to him. What would Jesus do? I wouldn't. Right? Okay? When you hear that, you're hearing a combination of the Holy Spirit and your conscience working together to help steer you clear of a situation. Okay? The Holy Spirit often speaks through what the King James Version of the Bible calls an unction. Okay? An unction is a powerful prompting. I'll give you a definition here in a minute. When the Apostle John was writing to us to know what were the ways of the world, what's going to do you harm, what's going to be against God, compared to what is of God and good for you. Okay, when he's trying to kind of outline this for us in 1 John, he says this in 1 John 2:20. He says, "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." Okay, that Holy One knows all things, and he will reveal it to you. An unction is a very strong and anointed prompting. Okay, that's the best definition I could come up with. A very strong and anointed prompting. Okay, I call it a knowing in your knower. Okay, it's when you know. Okay, you get that knowing inside. When I get an unction from the Holy One prompting me to do something, I can move forward without hesitation, okay, without any doubt, without any fear that I'm making a mistake. I have the unction of the Holy Spirit. I just know and I do. Okay? How do you hear that unction? Okay, how do you know, how do you get that conversation started so he'll give you the unction? It's simple. You talk to him. Okay? You communicate with him throughout your day. Okay? If you had something important going on in your life, it's life and death, it's something very vital to you, and your best friend was the contact person. They're the one that's going to know what's happening. They're going to know where we're at in this process. They're the go-to person. You're going to be calling them every 10 minutes saying, "Is anything changed? Have you heard anything yet? What's going on now? Where are we at in the process? How come we don't know anything?" You're going to be going to them, asking them over and over and over again. Holy Spirit is your go-to person for what's going on in your life. Okay, you want to know? Ask Holy Spirit because he knows. He is the go-to person. Okay, we're going to press into in the next couple weeks some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the actual gifts, the word of knowledge, word of faith, word of wisdom, okay, the gift of prophecy, some of those things on where he can speak to you through some of those things. But for now, I want you to focus on just being more sensitive to his promptings. Okay, listening for, is this the Holy Spirit leading me? I know, I'll give you another tip here, that if I'm making a decision that is not of God, it's something I know inside, I probably shouldn't be doing it, I know it's not what God intended, I get kind of a burning in my chest. Okay, and I refer to it, it's kind of like all of a sudden you get really anxious. Okay, and the best example I can think of that is, let's say you've got an important thing tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, you gotta be there, and you go to bed tonight, and all of a sudden you roll over and you look at the clock and it's 7:32 in the morning and your alarm didn't go off and you've got to be there at 8. You know that feeling you get right then? It's like, panic, oh my God, I got to be, and you jump up and you get on it. Okay, that kind of feeling inside is, for me personally, that's what I get if I'm stepping out of line of God. It might not be to that extreme, okay, it might not be that intense, but I get this feeling like, something's not right. You know, oh no, you know, I get that feeling. Okay, if I'm going to buy a car and there's something wrong with it that I'm going to find out down the road, I'll get that inside before I say yes. Okay, or if it's a job and, you know, somebody's interviewing you and all of a sudden you get that feeling like, I just don't want to be here. I don't think this is right. Okay, that's an unction. You're getting something. At least I'm just saying that's my experience. Maybe yours is a little different, but for me, I get that thing inside that I know that something is not quite right. Now, we've read the scripture a few times in this series already where it tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. I think that feeling that I get is the Holy Spirit expressing to me that I'm grieving him. Okay, I'm going against the ways of God, and I feel that inside. It doesn't hurt me any. I'm not, you know, it doesn't hurt me any. It just is revealing something to me that, wait a minute, I'm grieving the Holy Spirit here. I'm stepping aside from what God wants me to do. Okay, the Holy Spirit plays a big part in you feeling conviction for things. Okay, and it has to do with not so much the guilt. Okay, I want to see if I can explain this. Conviction is different than guilt. When the Holy Spirit convicts you, you have that moment like, I shouldn't have done that. I'm never going to do that again. God help me. Don't do that again. Guilt is the opposite. Guilt is, I shouldn't have done that. Oh man, I'm such a loser. I'm just a loser. Oh man, I can't be around God. That's the difference between guilt and conviction. Because guilt pushes you away from God. It will make you not want to be around other Christians. It'll make you not want to be around God. It'll make you not want to be in a place where you're growing and hearing about faith and all that stuff. Conviction draws you to God. Conviction is, I messed up. I didn't mean, I don't want to, God, I don't want to do that anymore. And you turn to God instead of away from God. That's the difference between guilt and conviction. Okay, if you don't feel, if you're feeling some conviction about something, that means that you're acknowledging, I messed that up, but I don't want to do it anymore. God, holy, here's my weakness. Take it to God, stand before Him and say, hey, Gary needs help with this. Okay, that's the difference. That's conviction. Okay, and that is that statement I wanted to leave you with this morning. People that are feeling guilty run from God. When you feel conviction by the Holy Spirit, you run to God. Okay, so listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit this week. I believe He's going to give you more. I believe He's going to show you more. You're going to hear more. You're going to see more than you've ever seen. Okay, that He is at work in your life, and you're learning right now that, you know, I just need to acknowledge, and you know, when that thing happens and all of a sudden I can't commit that sin, I'm going to acknowledge Him, that you're having those moments, and I think it's going to happen more and more. Practice allowing Him to be in control, okay? When those things come up and you're like, oh, I don't want to do that anymore, don't beat yourself up over it. Don't condemn yourself and beat yourself down over it. Just say, I don't want to do that anymore. God, help me not to do that. Okay, turn back to Him and let your source for the strength that you need be what you run to instead of what you run away from. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, Father God, we're praising You this morning. You are our King. You're our Savior. You're our leader. You are the one that we know has done all things on our behalf. You've set us up for success. You gave us Jesus. We believed. You gave us Your Holy Spirit, and we believe that You will do what You're going to do in our life, Lord. Help work all things together for our good, exactly like Your Word says. We're trusting in You. We're believing that as we leave this room, we leave this building, that we go out into the community, that everywhere we go, that Your Spirit is with us, leading us, guiding us, putting us in the right place at the right time, keeping us away from the wrong places at the wrong time. And Father, as we're sensitive and open to You, we will hear from You. We know that You're the go-to. You're the getter done. You're the one that is everything that we need. And so we're going to run to You during all these times. Lord, we praise You. We thank You for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen and amen.